And you're tuned to KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, streaming online at kcsb.org. And this is Jill Cloutier for Sustainable World. And I have two guests today on the show. I have Northern California herbalist, teacher, and healer Cammie McBride. And Cammie's back by popular demand. She was on the show, I think, in August, and I had so many requests to have her back. So Cammie's back, and we're going to be talking about something very interesting and different for the show today. So I'm very excited about that. I want to give an intro about Cammie. And Cammie has taught herbal medicine in women's health since 1988. Cammie McBride is a practicing herbalist with an herbal healthcare consultation practice in Vacaville, California. Cammie has taught integrative herbology at UCSF School of Nursing, Stanford Hospital, and the California Institute of Integral Studies. She created the Living Awareness Institute Classroom and Gardens as a sanctuary for women to remember their heritage as healers and herbalists. Cammie is also the director of Cultivating the Herbal Medicine Woman Within, an experiential herbal studies program where women are inspired to reclaim their heritage as herbalists and healers. And Cammie's also the author of 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation. Cammie's in Vacaville. She's joining us by telephone. So welcome to the show, Cammie.
Hi, Jill. Thank you very much.
And we also have today joining us in studio journalist, activist, and sustainability expert Carly Birch. And Carly has contributed some interviews that she did while she was on her world travels during the past year. You may have heard her interviewing Satish Kumar and also Mukesh Ray from India. And welcome, Carly, as well.
Thank you.
And let's start. I would like to give an intro to what we're going to be talking about today. And Cammie is an expert in women's health. And what we're going to be talking about is how to work with the physiology of our cycles as women instead of trying to medicate, control, or ignore these cycles. And according to Cammie, and this is from your website or an article I got there, Cammie, this knowledge was once passed from women to women. And the current standard approach to the female cycles is one primarily of drug management, pills and shots to regulate menstruation and prevent pregnancy, medications for PMS, and hormone replacement therapy for menopause. 60 million American women take birth control pills, even though they are indicated in cardiovascular disease and cancers, and 600,000 hysterectomies are performed annually in the United States. So we're going to be talking about a different method to getting in touch with our cycles and having a healthy relationship with our bodies. So Cammie, let's start first with, maybe you could give us an intro to your background, how you got into herbalism. And I know you shared a really interesting story last time about your own health, something that happened with your own health that drew you into this.
Yeah, well, especially focusing on women's health. When I was 19 years old, I was diagnosed with a tumor on my pituitary gland, and I was pretty young for that to be happening. And I had to have that surgically removed, which was a very traumatic event for me at that time because they, you know, it involved your face. They have to rearrange your face to get in there. And it was the doctor that did the surgery. He was doing many surgeries a week on women under 30, and he said that it was from the high estrogen birth control pill that we were taking in the 80s, which now that pill is now off the market. So that particular experiment, they found out caused too much cancer and too many problems. And so there are just a lot of women, young women, who developed this tumor as a result of that high estrogen birth control pill. So here I was at 19 years old, and I had been a statistic. You know, when you read the, oh, only 3% experience, well, I had been that 3%. So I really couldn't, you know, take a drug or an over-counter the medication or anything and really not read that statistic and go, well, 3%, if you're in that 3%, it doesn't matter that it's only 3%. So it really propelled me to look for non-invasive ways of working with my body and with my health.
And what was your relationship with your body at that time before this happened with your pituitary?
Well, just as, you know, most women, young girls brought up in America, there's no place where we learn about our body. I mean, we're lucky if we get a two-hour talk in junior high, and then we pick up the rest from a friend's older sister or in a magazine or on TV or, you know, in the clinic. There's you know, a girl can go through menarche, which is first menstruation, without anybody really talking to her about anything. you know, it's like, here's the pads, deal with it. Mm-hmm. And so it's a lack, we have a really, a lack of initiation, of proper initiation into the complexities of our body. Female cycles are complex, and they really require, you know, what I call an accumulated body of knowledge to be passed on to us from women that have gone before, and we're just not getting that. That awareness is you know, where somebody really talks to us and takes us on and teaches us how to track our fertility, how to understand our sexuality, how to care for and nourish ourselves. Because, like I said, the female cycles, they are complex, and it's more like, oh, I'm pregnant, now what do I do? Or, oh, here comes menopause, what should I do now? Or, oh, here's my period, take a pill. We don't have a very good management approach.
Like preparation, and it seems like it's almost like a crash course. It's like, wow, all of a sudden I'm getting my period. What does this mean? What do I do?
It is. Most of what we experience is crash course. It's, oh, I'm pregnant, how do I work with that? And again, we're not mentored into the complexities of what we're dealing with. And there's just a huge silence around how to work with our bodies. And so what that does is create a void and leave us very susceptible to, you know, the cultural statistics of what women experience and to experimentation, which is what the drugs are. You know, the current pills, the current, you know, what's out there has not really been tested. And we have a very recent history of the last 40 years of all the things that they put on the market that weren't tested, and what happened to some of those women. I mean, there have been very high cancer rates associated with some of the contraceptive technologies. And so now we're just in a new wave of that technology, and it still hasn't been tested. And so we're the rats, and we're involved in the current experimentation.
It's interesting, too. If we were mentored, I feel like the mentoring that I received was in fifth grade from a film. And it was a man talking about menstruation.
Couldn't even say it right. And so you see that, and it's rare. It's like few and far in between that you can actually find some information that's not associated with selling a product.
Now, how would that look, Cammie? Because we know what it looks like, what we've, most women in this country, and I would love it if someone would call in during a music break and tell us their story, because it seems like most of my friends and I, it was kind of like either your mom had the dreaded talk with you, like, oh, here comes the curse, you know, you're on the rag or whatever, or you learned about it in fifth grade or whatever grade from one of those movies that was so terrible. Like, what would the opposite be like? What would it be like to be mentored?
We're trying to dream up, isn't it? That's what we're trying to create. And in order for us to do that for the girls coming up, we first have to do our work around our own first menstruation. And what is it that we would have wanted? What happened to us? You know, how did you feel? I've heard more than 1,000 women tell their first menstruation story. And there are three basic responses. I mean, there are some other responses. You know, some women say, oh, it was great. My mom was really good, but that's few. That's rare. The most common response is, I don't really remember. You know, I think I was in seventh grade. I think I was at my dad's house. But, you know, I don't really remember what happened. So there's just a huge amnesia. And it's the beginning of the disassociation process from the female body. Mm-hmm. And the second most common response is, I remember, but it was no big deal. No big deal. I got my period, you know, I got my pads, and I carried on. Third most common response was, I remember or I don't remember, and I hated it. Mm-hmm. I wish I were a boy. I hated it. I hated my body. It meant I couldn't go swimming. So we know that our thoughts create our physiological experience, really contribute to it. And so just look at those three, you know, ways of thinking about something we're going to do for 40 or 50 years, and what do we create with that?
Mm-hmm. And it's such a huge thing. It's a giant transition.
It is enormous. It is when the Shakti, the female creative fire, comes into your body and you awaken, begin to awaken who you are as a being, what you're going to be manifesting in this life. How you think, how you feel, your body, everything changes. Everything changes. Your position in society changes. And you can, you know, the people at the table can be talking about the weather. More than, you know, there's no validation. And so what you learn is it's not really important.
Well, I think a lot of women, and I remember this when I was in junior high, and I may have shared this story with you, Cammie, how this girl that was sitting in front of me, her purse fell open and she had a tampon in her purse. This was in seventh grade. And the whole class, I remember she turned so red, I thought her head was going to explode. She was so ashamed. And I remember thinking, oh, I would be so mortified if anyone knew. And I think a lot of girls have shame about that when they're on their period.
Right. Well, the hiding, shame is one of the experiences. Shame, fear, hiding. So we know when we start to work with healing that shame creates constriction. Shame stops the flow of energy. And so then we just, you know, there's over 150 symptoms associated with the PMS. And it really is very, I mean, there, you know, diet plays a role. There are many things that play a role. But shame and hiding and fear and, you know, just these things that I talked about of what women experience, those thought processes lay down a template of how to experience those cycles. And it's very, very profound how the influence of this, you know, I don't know, I don't remember, I don't care, it was no big deal, and, oh, I just don't want anybody to know.
Yeah, yeah. Would you say, too, that the way that our mothers and grandmothers, their feelings are also passed down generationally?
Yes, because you learn how to be from your mother or your stepmother, whoever it is that raises you, how to be, even if she never says a word. It's passed on a cellular level. It's a cellular transmission. So if she never says anything to you about her cycle, you still learn how to deal with it or not deal with it from your relationship to her, and then also the shaming that you get from your culture or your friends, and then the media. And then what happens is the media becomes your teacher, and the media has a goal in mind, and that's to trigger your weaknesses to get you to buy something.
Or to stay free. Those pads, if you look at all the names of them, it's like your
protection. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And who are you protecting? You're not protecting yourself, because most of the pads and tampons contain harmful chemicals. Mm-hmm. But you're protecting other people in the world from knowing that you're bleeding.
Which, why? Now, Cammie, in all your years of experience, what is going on here? What is the dynamic? What's happening here where we as women are hiding such an important thing?
Well, it's what we inherited, first of all. You know, if we think that the conversation is not happening now, look at what our grandmothers dealt with. I mean, they dealt with things in silence, you know, just complete silence. I remember my great aunt telling me that when she started her period, she thought she was dying. She'd never even heard of it, you know, and that's a very, very common story for the women that were initiated, where it came into puberty in the 40s, and, you know, unless you had a grandmother that was still, you know, aware. And so just over the generations, as things have happened, and as we just became to really trust, you know, pharmaceutical companies and doctors, we gave over that that job of educating our daughters to someone else, you know, and then we were just shamed out of it. And so it's just the experience that we inherited. Mm-hmm. And so what we're doing is reclaiming what happened to us, doing some healing around that, and then saying, okay, now what is it that we need to do? What do our daughters need to know? How do we teach them to nurture themselves and care for themselves at that time of the month?
And how would one go about changing that? Because I know so many young women who are ashamed and just are like, oh, I hate this. This is horrible. What are some of the first steps that someone can do to reclaim and reframe their relationship to their bodily cycles?
Well, I have a whole workshop for that.
Yeah.
My Women's Wisdom Workshop, come. I also have a book that's available at my website, livingawareness.com. And I have a book that's available there. It's called the Women's Wisdom Circle Guidebook. And really the first step is to start talking about it. Start getting with other women and other girls and sharing your first menstruation, and you will just be blown away. And just that, you know, getting with five or six women in a circle and sharing your first blood stories just opens up an enormous box. And that conversation, then you go, oh, what about this? What about that? And then the healing has begun. Because you just start to realize how ridiculous it is. Mm-hmm. And then you start to come up with solutions. Well, what if we would have had this? And what if? And then you do, you know, we do exercise about, well, what could it have been like? Or what would you have liked to have been told? How could you have been mentored? And then we look at how can we create rites of passage where girls are acknowledged, you know, and really given information about tracking their cycle. We, as women, we have to learn how to track our cycle.
And what does that mean exactly,
that
tracking our
cycle? That means you get a calendar and you know exactly when you start your period if you have a regular cycle, but you get a calendar where you mark down when you bleed, how much you bleed, you know, so you can track what's happening. Mm-hmm. And so we, in my Women's Wisdom workshop, we also teach women how to track their fertility, you know, so that you can become the caretaker and the curator of, you know what's happening.
Yes.
You know,
and it's so probably a good sign from your body on what's going on health-wise, too.
Absolutely, because when something changes, you're the first to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go, oh, well, gosh, why, what's happening here?
Yeah.
And so you really become... you know, body literate. We are body illiterate. You know, it's like, take a pill. Oh, your cycle's irregular. Here, take this pill.
That's true. and going to someone else.
And yeah. You have no idea what the long-term implications of those pills are. Now, I'm not saying it's totally, you know, if you're taking birth control pills, you're not a bad person. And sometimes they are needed, but they are overprescribed. And many times there are other things you can do first.
I've heard of birth control pills also being prescribed just to regulate periods. What would you say about that?
Well, to regulate periods or to just, you know, the biggest thing now is for the skin. Here, take this pill for this. Take your birth control pills for your skin. Or the new drugs are that they're, you know, see, it's all about bottom line sales. Sales in birth control pills and birth control technology has dropped. And so they're really trying to bring up their bottom line again. And so they're trying to find new ways to sell it. And the newest way is that they're selling and marketing very heavily, especially to college-aged women, is here, take this pill, and you don't have to have your period for 6 months.
Wow.
You know, that's the newest wave of what's being taught as okay.
Wow, it's like total suppression.
Yes. Yeah, you have no idea what the long-term implications are. It's an experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, we have a very poor history. You know, look at the pills that came out in the 60s and the breast cancer and uterine cancer that was associated with that. Look at the hormone replacement therapy of the 70s and the early 80s and the disease that was associated with that. Our track record is not very good.
Well, I know my friend who's a college professor went into her gynecologist when she was probably in her late 50s, I think, and this was 15 years ago, and her doctor got into a yelling match with her about hormone replacement therapy, and my friend refused to take it, and her doctor was so personally offended by her refusal, she started yelling at her.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
that's hard. That is hard, because in my practice in the 80s, you know, in the 90s, I see a lot of women, and their women would come in and just be so upset by how, you know, the doctors would say, not all doctors, and doctors aren't bad people. It just, that was the kind of like the mainstream, like you really need to take HRT, mm-hmm. you know, and because you've got cardiovascular disease history in your family. Well, now we know that therapy didn't really solve cardiovascular problems, and in some instances it made it worse. So, you know, it's just, you as a woman have to know more about your body.
And you'd think that we would want to know more because it's something that's going to be with us for decades.
Right. Well, it's a lot easier to learn about it at the beginning because, you know, let's face it, we're busy. You get into your 30s and 40s, and let's say if you have kids or if you're really focused on your work, you know, it is more difficult to really include that because you've already gotten on a rhythm of your life. And so if we can be mentored into it young, then it just becomes like, it's like brushing your teeth. It just becomes part of what you do and what you know.
That's wonderful. Well, I wanted to remind our listeners that you're tuned to KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara. And this is Sustainable World. I'm Jill Cloutier. My guests today are herbalist, teacher, and healer Cami McBride from Vacaville, California, and Carly Birch, a sustainability journalist and activist. Carly, maybe you could share with us what you're in your 20s, early 20s. What has your experience been like with your peers about birth control and women's health and what we've been talking about?
I guess Most of my friends are actually on birth control, I think. And I was before I went to college, and I gained a bunch of weight, and it just wasn't very good. I went off of it, and I went on it to regulate my period, and I guess it worked. But I don't know. I guess one of the big things that's going on now is most of my friends use those tampons, like Tampax and things like that, and I've read a lot about it. I know my friends have too, and they still use them. I guess one of my questions is, what's the best way or method for doing things? I've heard lots of different stories and lots of different products, and there's organic tampons and there's pads that have a lot of waste and cloth pads that most people are kind of turned off to because of the cleanup and everything.
Especially if you have to go to the laundromat.
Yeah. So I don't know if you have any suggestions.
That's a political action, actually, to hang up your pad and let other people see it.
Yeah.
Your flag.
It's like, yes, I'm a bleeding woman. What do you want? What?
And didn't you know anyway?
Right. Why is it that you don't want to know, you know? I mean, one of the things that I started doing was just telling people, well, I'm bleeding. And my brothers go, oh, thanks for telling me, you know? But, yeah, you know, it's a very personal decision. And, again, there's no, you know, it's not about me judging people. It's just offering the data of what the statistics are around things and then saying, okay, here are all of your choices. And tampons sometimes, you know, when I go swimming, I wear a tampon, and I just get ones that are organic and dioxin-free. Because your vaginal tissue is a very vascular tissue, and it's highly absorptive, and what you put up there enters your bloodstream, period. You know, and so you want to just be careful of what goes there. And so there are good tampons now that are organic, made with organic cotton, and you're not getting, you know, dioxins are known carcinogens. And so you can do that. And there are also some organic pads, too, that you can get. And, you know, as far as the cloth pads, they're actually great. They absorb more than the purchased pads and the throwaway pads. And, you know, you just, you know, again, if you think that your blood is yucky and icky and, you know, a curse, then the cleanup is a drag. Mm-hmm. But if you see your blood as like, oh, my God, it means I'm healthy, and it's my body's natural every monthly purification process, and it is the root of all life on this planet. Without menstrual blood, there would be no life. That is the blood that feeds the possibility of life. And so you start to look at it as sacred. You know, that's a hard shift to make. Like, somebody may be listening going, oh, my God, what is she talking about? That's a process to get to that place. That doesn't just happen in 5 minutes. And also by seeing your blood, you learn, you be able to tell, like, if it's becoming heavier or thicker or clotty or darker, and you're starting, you know, you can tell, assess your health by that.
And it seems, what a thing to be ashamed of. I'm so struck by what you said. Like, it's the root of all life. Like, we all come from this. And how has our society gotten so skewed that now this is something to be ashamed of?
Well, I have a book here that we did a research of ads all the way back to the 20s, and photocopied ads on menstrual products since like 1920 till now. And I mean, we've been hard hit with a really, you know, ongoing campaign of how to look, how to be. You know, the ads from the 30s were amazing about all the Lysol and about all the douching products, about how smelly you are, and how if you don't use a personal, you know, deodorant and odorized douche that, you know, no one's going to like you.
I remember those ads, those douche ads from the 70s.
They used to do Lysol in the 30s, like douching with Lysol, you know. And so there's been a pro, you know, a very strong ad campaign.
Now, Cammy, tell me, why are there no, like, douching? I know it wouldn't be douching, but no, like, you know, groin deodorants for men.
Okay, well, we're not going to go there. But, you know, if men could bleed, we'd all have, if men bled, we'd all have, there'd be a one-day-a-month paid vacation for everybody. And that's not meant negative, you know, it's just, you know.
Yes, it's a different, it's women, yes, I think,
We have a different experience, and we live in a culture that is focused on bottom line, produce, you know, make it happen. And the menstrual time is actually time where you stop and go inside, and we've lost respect and awareness for how important that time is. We're very focused on yang, expression, you know, go, 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 and we've lost our balance between, internal retrospection and external expression. Mm-hmm. And it can be seen in our health, how women are exhausted and stressed. And menstruation is a built-in template for health. It's like you stop, mm-hmm. But like it's seen in the workplace. Well, that's not very convenient, you know.
Well, I loved what you said on your, in Cami has a book too, which is called 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation. We'll talk about that a bit later on, which we're talking about now, what's in it. But I loved what you wrote about how menstruation is a built-in cycle that provides us with the opportunity to restore and rejuvenate each month. It's a time when the female body releases, rejuvenates, and heals. And I loved that. Mm-hmm. If we were in touch with that, that's probably what we would be doing during that time.
Yeah, that's a direct quote from 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation, which you can get on Amazon.com or my website. And it's a simple book that has a powerful message of how to really start thinking of your this monthly, thing that descends on you. Oh, it's not me, it's just my period. I don't really have to pay attention to what you're saying because you're on your period, it doesn't really matter, It's this time each month where our body lets go and releases and cleanses and rejuvenates. And so if we can take, just a little bit of downtime, even an hour, a day is better, but not everybody can do that, then it allows the body to do what it needs and we're not, like, at war with it, mm-hmm. And struggling to keep our energy in our brain. And then that causes kind of a disharmony, and it causes more pain. The body is really meant to rest a little bit and rejuvenate, and that rejuvenative space is very valuable.
Well, isn't that the time, too, when we are releasing toxins? It's kind of a cleansing time for our body?
Well, it's, all that your uterine lining has built up. And so when you don't, if you don't start releasing that well or properly or start having problems with it, you're going to start having health problems. So a healthy menstruation means that you're healthy. Mm-hmm. And so it's something to be grateful for. It's like, when women lose their period and their cycles start, they're not very happy. Mm-hmm. So it really is a sign of good health.
Now, Cami, what do you think about, I had a roommate once in college that he was a guy living with a group of women in a house, and he actually bought a shirt for us that said, I have PMS and a gun. Now, he... So watch out or something. I'm wondering what would you say about PMS? Because I have been under the influence of PMS. Do you think it's just a time when we're so in touch with what's going on with us that it kind of is accentuated, or what's happening with that? I know that's kind of not an epidemic, but that's something that is, in our culture, I know a lot of women that get that.
Right. Okay, so 70% of American women experience one of the over 100 symptoms of PMS in their life and for a good period of their menstrual cycle. So that's a lot. That is epidemic. And there is no clear etiology like, this is the symptom, take this and it'll go away. we could try these birth control pills. In the medical field, there's no clear A plus B, it cures it. And so it is a major problem. And I just, I think it's the voice of the feminine just screeching out saying, hey, we're doing something wrong here. Mm-hmm. We're not doing this properly. And so we're doing things with our bodies that aren't in accordance with what our body needs. And so the body goes into pain. And the thing is that your uterus does, your cervix opens up, you release, you go on release. And so you're in a way, you open up, your body opens up. And so, I don't know, have you ever felt more sensitive during or prior to menstruation?
Yeah, definitely. And I made a conscious decision probably when I was living in Hawaii 15, 20 years ago, where I thought, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life until I'm in my 50s, probably menstruating. And I'm going to change this to a positive experience. So I really try and tune in, and I am much more sensitive, and I seem much more aware and able to access deeper parts of myself. Mm-hmm. During that time.
That's great. Well, I have a whole talk on, it's called Cultivating the Menstrual Treasures. Mm-hmm. And when you ask a room of 150 women if they've ever been told that they're being too sensitive, yeah. while they're bleeding or before they're bleeding, everybody raises their hand. Because we've all been said, oh, you're being too sensitive, you're on your period. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one of the treasures of menstruation is that you become more sensitive. Well, you know what? Sensitivity is a good thing. And it's been demonized.
Yes, yes.
And it's been invalidated out of us. But sensitivity is, at this point, you know, we're talking about sustainability here, right? Sensitivity is what's going to save the planet.
Yes.
Being sensitive to what it means to live with seven generations in mind. Sensitive to, well, what am I doing to my water? Sensitive to, well, what food am I feeding my child? You know, and so it's like our increased sensitivity as women, that inherent ability to preserve and care for and tend to life, comes from our ability to be sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
So sensitivity.
I love that. That's wonderful.
Yes, that is a, you know, like, let's just all shift our right now. Sensitivity is valuable. And the next time somebody says, oh, you're too sensitive, you say, hey, thanks a lot, man. Thanks for the compliment.
Cammie, I love that. I hear that all the time.
Yeah, sensitivity is what we need. It's our you know, we've got a lot of people in important high places making decisions that are desensitized. And so it's that mother care, you know, even if you're not a mother, it's that ability to, like, really care and feel that we're going to evolve with. And so invalidating sensitivity out is just, it no longer serves us. And so let's just stop that in our lives. Just don't allow for that anymore. And realize that menstruation is where we cultivate that sensitivity, where it is so strong that we sit down and we just really get into our sensitivity and feel things and feel all the things that are out of right relationship in our life and feel like who we need to make up with. And, you know, just really, it's a time where you sit back and say, you know, where am I going? What am I doing? Who am I? How do I feel?
So it really could be a time when you maybe make a little ritual for yourself where you can tune in and find out what's happening inside. And, you know, it's so easy to ignore that when we're racing around to our jobs and all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so also in 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation, I talk about that, how to create little, tiny, small, everyday rituals amidst our busy life to just stop and help us remember that this is it's actually a time of healing. You know, people all over the world do all kinds of things to try to get more sensitive.
Like workshops for thousands of dollars.
Yeah, it's like, how do drum chanting, whatever, to open up my chakras and open up my awareness and be more sensitive? Well, just sit and menstruate. You don't have to do anything. You just get blasted open and your belly gets, you know, your everything starts to feel a little queasy. And I don't know about you, but I hallucinate sometimes on my period. It's just like, whoa. It's, you know, it's a great drug.
Which, you know, in a way, this is such an amazing thing. And yet it doesn't at all fit into our busy, busy, you know, the calendar. And like, you have to be here then at 5 and then 6 you're going somewhere.
No, yeah. We don't account for it. So one of the first things, you start tracking. So if you have a regular cycle, you can kind of, you know, guess out 4 weeks, and then just, if you can, just lighten your load a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe you have a job that you can't take time off from, but maybe after work you don't plan going to the gym, or you don't go to a meeting, or you let someone else pick up the kids, you know, one day a month, and you don't cook that night, or, you know, you just pull back just a little bit.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, Cammie, what about, because we're talking about these positive aspects of menstruation, of our periods. I'm wondering, I know that I have a friend that has horrible cramping, has to take, what's the pain reliever? I don't even
Advil.
Know the name.
Advil. Ibuprofen.
Yeah, ibuprofen, like many times during her period, and is just in horrible pain. What could someone like
right.
that, who's suffering?
So she needs to work with a holistic practitioner. When it's a debilitating, mm-hmm. You know, they're just, you know, you start with, okay, how do we reduce the inflammation? So an anti-inflammatory helps her. And so diet is really critical. The kind of fat, what kind of fat you eat plays a huge role. And so having her take an essential fatty acid supplement or evening primrose oil can help. But see, these are all guesses. It's like she needs to get with a naturopath or an herbalist. I work with people over the phone. Or also Chinese medicine practitioner can help her, you know, reduce the inflammation or clear her liver or really help her fine-tune her diet And you can, you know, you can help that. That can be helped without drugs. And then usually if you can back off the pain a little bit, and also for many women, tampons make their cramps worse. And so it's just about working with her and fine-tuning what it is, whether it's her diet, whether it's the, you know, there's just many different things, but the holistic practitioners, we can deal with that. We can help her, you know, most of the time.
Yeah, because I know a few women that are just like, ugh, this is hell. Oh, it's horrible. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
how it is for me. But when I was in India, my friend told me to eat dates. And I was terrified of, like, experiencing the pain. And I just ate a bunch of dates. And it didn't ever come. Like, the cramps never came.
Oh.
Which was bizarre, but to me, because I always had to take medicine. But
And so dates helped you.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
I don't know how. Some
add some sweetness or potassium, maybe? I don't know.
That is great.
Yeah. I was.
Well,
yeah.
Dates are a highly rejuvenative food in Ayurvedic medicine. They, you know, you there are a lot of remedies that involve almonds and dates, and that are rejuvenative and rebuild the body. Mm-hmm. So that's.
Well, Carly had an interesting, and I would love to get your opinion on this, Cammie. Cammie, I always feel like I want to talk to you for hours.
It's wonderful. Thank you for having me.
Well, Carly, if you could share your experience. Carly was in India and when she came back, she shared this experience with me that I thought was very interesting illustration of women around the world and how women are treated. Do you want to share that experience in India, Carly?
Yeah. Basically, my friend's father is a doctor. And so he was helping me to go to the dentist, go to all these different doctors to get checked up at his hospital. And at the end, he said, oh, is there anything else? And I said, oh, I guess I could go see a gynecologist for a checkup. And he looked at me. I thought he was pretty open and liberal, was the idea I got from the whole day of hanging out with him. But he looked at me like this, I don't even know, the face of like doom and walked me down to this. It was a government hospital. So we had been in all the nice parts of the hospital earlier. And so I went down to this government gynecologist clinic. And it was just these women in pain, crying. And I walked in, I said, oh, no, like this is not what I wanted. And so I went in and the doctor is just like, what's wrong with you? And she started listing off horrible things I could have like wrong with me. And I said, no, I just want a checkup. And she's like, for what? And I was like a pap smear, you know, like a just, I don't know, checkup. And so she goes out and tells the man, my friend's dad, that I wanted a checkup for sexual activity to her, my friend's father. Oh, God. And so we go back to his office and he just sat down and gave me this talk about safe sex. And what would I do if the test came out positive? And I was just like, oh, God, I just wanted to go to a gynecologist. And my friend walks in. She like rushed down from her university because I guess he called her. I don't know. And she just looked at me like, oh, God, what did you do? And then I ended up, they sent me to a lab and they took my blood. I guess they tested me for AIDS and who knows what else. And I just went with it because I didn't know what to do. But later, my friend was like, oh, my God. And like, her mom ended up apologizing to me for her dad's actions. She said, oh, you wanted a preventative health checkup. I know about that. But after talking to my friend, it turns out that women, I mean, you only go to a gynecologist if you're having sex or there's a problem. And so most of the girls there go without their parents knowing. So you, like, she knew of doctors. And if you tell your mother, yeah, she's like, don't let my mom or dad help you at all. Like, I will find you a place to go if you want to go. And so it's just very
shame.
Interesting.
It's a lot of shame.
Yeah. And then her father, I guess he talked to her about it later. He's like, oh, yes, now I know. Like, it confirmed the white women are loose or whatever he called me. And I'm his, like her friend. And she, I mean, she's just the same. I mean, she goes out and has boyfriends, too. I don't know. He has no idea. But it's like they also think white women are go to the gynecologist.
It's a crime.
Yeah, it was horrible.
That was a big shame. I'm glad you're laughing about it because that was, you know, that's a big shaming. It's a shameful thing, you know.
It was, yeah. At least my friend understood, so it was okay. And her mother understood at the end, but her father still, I don't know.
Thanks, you're
loose. Well, it's interesting, too, with Kevin, my boyfriend, my significant other. He, I said, Kevin, we're doing a show with that wonderful, he loved the last show, I said, with the wonderful herbalist Cammie McBride, and this is on women's cycles and how to heal our relationship to lead more healthy and sustainable lives. And he, what did he do, Carly? He kind of just moaned and said, like, oh, I have no, I'm getting out of here or something.
I don't know anything about this.
Which he is very advanced, but it's interesting how men tend to cringe when this subject comes up.
This is kind of, as far as the whole self-healing, healing movement, this is still kind of uncharted waters. And this is like what, it's time to bring this into the conversation.
I know. It's funny how people do. People are very, especially men, some men, not all men, are very uncomfortable with this.
Oh, I've been at fair, you know, different places with my book, and I've had women come up to me and just yell at me, I can't believe that you put the word celebrate in the same sentence as menstruation. I just totally flip out on me. But, you know, for them, their menstrual cycle was a horrible, horrible experience. You know, not being initiated, not being taught how to care for it. You know, having lifestyle habits that don't support your body, and then, you know, it can cause a lot of pain.
Yes, emotional and physical.
On all levels. I mean, some women, their menstruation destroys their life because of the what happens to them emotionally, and, you know, it can be very, very difficult.
What do you think about having sex while on your period?
I think that's a very individual decision,
okay.
You know, and there's no like this way or that way is good or bad. Some people like it and some people don't.
Okay. And Cam, I wanted to remind our listeners that you're tuned to KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, and this is Sustainable World. And my guests today are herbalist, teacher, and healer Cammie McBride and Carly Birch, journalist and activist. And this is Sustainable World. We are going through uncharted territories today. We're going to the last frontier, which is really changing our reframing our relationship to our periods and our cycles as women. So, Cammie, what are some first steps someone could take to do this, to help reframe their relationship to their period? And I know you've mentioned some, but what's something someone could do if they can't go to your workshop and they're here in Santa Barbara?
Well, you could work with my book. It's very good. I also have some other books and I got a lot of books for women's health and, you know, working with your body differently. But I would just start talking about it. Start getting with your mother. Maybe, you know, say, hey, Mom, what was your period like? Who talked to you about it? Just start the conversation. You know, ask your grandmother, your mother, your sister, have a girls' night with, you know, a couple of your girlfriends or your family members, and start talking about how you were initiated or how you weren't initiated, and what you think happened for your mother or your grandmother, and just open it up, you know, and so see what what it is that you inherited, what's the legacy that you were given, and then also just start thinking about how you really feel, you know, what is it that you... how do you really feel while you're bleeding, and what is it that you need? Some women are like, God, if I could just take a day off, or if I could just stop, or I just want to eat, like, all day long, or, you know. And so just start thinking about how is it that you could nourish yourself a little bit more during that time, because the body really does, you know, we try to be super women, superheroes, do it all at once, do everything, but really our bodies aren't made to do that. And so what is it that you want or could do or give yourself, or how could you care for yourself just a little bit more during that time of the month so that you could get a little bit of respite to make that feeling state valuable to you. You know, because when you start feeling too much and you're at work or you're walking down Market Street or whatever, it hurts, it's painful. And so how could you put yourself in an environment where being more sensitive could actually be pleasurable?
And what, Cammie, what about, too, and this is, I know we're running out of time, but I'm wondering about menopause and how do our feelings about our periods, how does that lead us into menopause?
That's a different topic, but, yeah. You know, what you want to start doing is thinking of the female cycles as a continuum of experience. Mm-hmm. See, it's not just like these isolated, oh, your period and your, you know, first menstruation, pregnancy, if you do that, you know, it's all related. It's all part of a continuum of experience, and each one helps to set up the experience for the next.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when you start, when menarche comes, first menstruation, your hormones are coming in, and when menopause comes, your hormones are going out, but it's a very similar threshold of change, rewiring of your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are both huge transitional times of change that require awareness and some cocooning and, you know, really assessing your needs. And, you know, it's not like you can just pretend like it's not happening, because your body is really going through a big shift.
Mm-hmm.
And so how you've worked with menstruation and that self-awareness, it definitely can affect your menopausal experience.
And Cammie, what is an herbalist? What are some herbs that can be like a woman's best friend or some herbal allies for women mm-hmm. during their cycles?
Well, you know what's an amazing herb for cramps and menstruation that is so simple is chamomile. Chamomile can work wonders with menstruation, with cramping. And then if you have the kind of menstruation where you get really bloated and achy and your breasts swell, dandelion root helps a lot of women. Now, remember, everybody's different, mm-hmm. and so it's good to individualize your approach. But for many women, dandelion root is very beneficial. And also, foot baths are really good, because a lot of the meridians of your womb are in your ankles. And so one of the things you absolutely want to do is keep your feet warm mm-hmm. when you're menstruating. So, you know, this time of year, a lot of young girls, they, you know, wear sandals or whatever. They don't go out fully warmly dressed, and that can really exasperate your menstrual experience, is not having clothes that cover your belly, cover your womb.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of shirts hike up and show the belly. Well, you don't want to do that during your period.
Interesting.
I had a friend whose ankles would swell when she was on her period.
Yeah, you definitely want to, you know, a lot of times dandelion root will help with that.
Huh.
And you, in the winter and when it's cold, you want to keep your ankles and your feet covered and warm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really big one, especially for young women. They don't dress warm a lot of times.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah,
I remember
so you
going.
Cover.
Out,
you yeah, let your shirt. You know, you really make sure your shirt covers your reproductive organs and your belly while you're bleeding, because cold creates constriction, and blood doesn't flow as easily when things are cold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about letting your blood flow easily.
That's interesting, Cammie. Could you very briefly give our listeners a bit of a background about the type of healing work that you do? Because you're so knowledgeable. I know the Ayurveda and your breath work and flower essences. And
well, I've just been interested. You know, I was picked up and put on this path with that experience that I talked about earlier. And that started when I was 19. So it's also just a matter of how, you know, I'm 45 now, so I've been doing it for a while, and I'm also just really passionate about this topic. I think that our care for our bodies as females really has the chance to transform our relationship to ourselves, our families, and to the culture. Because when you leave that part of your body, when you leave your womb and your first and second chakra, your survival chakras, and just, you know, plug up and drug up without, you know, sometimes you need to do that, but when it's just a way of being, that creates a numbness that affects our everyday life and how we participate in the world. And also our lack of initiation and our lack of consciousness around all of that. It just, what does that mean that you have a nation of women, you know, not knowing about their body and then susceptible to all of these statistics and experiments, and then you're in recovery from some of it, and it just ties up a lot of the female energy that could be available to create change.
You know, it also reminds me, it's almost like an analogy of our relationship with the earth on some level.
Well, it is. Our body, you know, we embody the cycles and the seasons, you know, in our womb. You know, full moon, new moon, menstruation, ovulation, it's just right there.
Wow. So really healing our relationship with our bodies and our cycles really can have a profound effect on kind of reclaiming our connection to the planet and to the earth as well.
That's what I very firmly, that's why we're having this conversation.
Yeah.
Because I think it can make a big difference.
Definitely. And I bet you've seen a lot of stories, success stories like that in your work.
Yeah, I have. You know, because once you kind of get this information, you go, oh, and it's like it was never, it just like fits, you know, for a lot of women. Mm-hmm. And then, you've integrated that part of, you know, health is about progressively being more integrated in your life. You know, as you go throughout life, you integrate and you digest experiences, and then that creates who you are, the wisdom of who you are. And when this whole part of our being never really goes in, you know, becomes integrated, then it's just part of our lives is separate. We just get disjointed, and it's you know, creates that mm-hmm. separation. And then, you know, a lot of times we're not even aware of it. It's like, what is she talking about? I don't have that. Yeah. You know, but we're not even aware of it.
Mm-hmm, the separation.
I had a hysterectomy. I'm so glad to be done with that. You know, that was a nightmare. Thank God for my hysterectomy. And so that's fine, you know. And so if that's happened, it's not about judging that. It's about going, okay, how are you with your hysterectomy? Do you have problems? You know, is it really okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, where are we at with all of that?
Yes, yes. And I wonder too how reclaiming and celebrating our cycles, how would that affect our relationship with men? Do you feel that that would have a profound effect?
Well, see, part of it is that men aren't initiated either.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the woman's all in control. She's the one that decides if she gets pregnant or not, or, you know, so we hold that, you know, a lot of men feel like we hold that over them, you know, and so there's a lot of fear, and there's a lot of, you know, mistrust and unconscious, you know, just kind of, yeah, fear and mm-hmm. mistrust. And also for us, we're like pissed because we are the ones that have to take care of it all.
Mm-hmm.
And if the men were included in how to track cycle and how to, you know, and were, you know, put on board with us, it wouldn't all be on our shoulders.
Mm-hmm. Great. So. Cammie, this has been very thought-provoking.
Yeah, thank you. It's wonderful talking
yeah.
with you. And my website is www.livingawareness.com. And there are lots of other resources there for women if they'd like to.
Yes, and I looked at your class schedule coming up, and it is pretty incredible. Some great classes coming up in Cammie. You have some every month, right?
Yeah, I have a course coming up called Botanical Adventures, where we go to different sites every month from April through October and study the plants in different environments. And that's a wonderful exploration.
Yes, it's very cool. So thank you so much, Cammie McBride,
okay.
for talking with me
thank
today.
Thank you very
with
much.
Us. Okay, thanks a lot, Cammie.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And that was Cammie McBride, an herbalist, teacher, educator, healer from Vacaville, California. Cammie can be reached at www.livingawareness.com. She's the author of the book 105 Ways to Celebrate Menstruation. And her phone number at the Living Awareness is 707-446-1290. So you're listening to Sustainable World on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, streaming worldwide on kcsb.org. Let's take a short music break, Carly. What do you think?
Sure.
And we'll be right back after this song. Stay tuned.
Sou guerreira, sou carinho.
You're listening to Sustainable World on KCSB 91.9 FM in Santa Barbara, streaming worldwide on kcsb.org. And we're going to do our community calendar. And there's going to be a one-day workshop on Cobb Building as part of a winter work retreat Saturday, February 16th from 10 to 5. And Betty Seaman, who's a Cobb builder, is going to join the work retreat for one day only. And you'll experience building a Cobb bench from scratch to finish. And to register, contact Path of Service at ohifoundation.org. That's Path of Service, ohifoundation.org. And that's for a one-day workshop on Cobb building. And there's also going to be, from February 14th through the 29th at the Ojai Foundation, a two-week immersion in mindful service and ceremonial practices. And go to www.ojifoundation.org, and you can get information on the Cobb workshop and also this two-week mindful service retreat. And Carly, do you want to read about the Brazilian Fest that's
coming up? Yeah, the fifth annual Brazilian Carnival in Santa Barbara, February 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. So weekend extravaganza, and there's a bunch of events. You can look at sbbraziliancarnival.com.
And that's where the Santa Barbara Permaculture Network, I think on the back of that card, Carly, it talks about the film night. Could you give the details for that?
At the Santa Barbara Central Public Library, February 1st, 7 p.m., there's a film screening, an in-depth look into the Choro.
Good. You pronounced it right, I think.
I don't know. But yeah, there's a soccer game. There's some other
There's
things.
A lot happening. So, and you can also, I think the permaculture, could you give the website one more time, Carly, for information?
www.sbbraziliancarnival.com.
And, you know, Doc Jazz is in the house. He's ready to go. And we've run out of time. I will read more of the calendar next week. I have a fairly large calendar. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be back next week with Dave Wan, the author of the book, co-author of the book Affluenza and the new book Simple Abundance. So we'll be back with an interview with Dave next week. Thanks for tuning in and have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye.